They'll share a very, very interesting meshechacha. When Yaakov describes his time with Laban to Esav, this is very interesting language. Im Laban Garti. So Chazal, of course, are very sensitive to the Im Laban Garti, Vitarig Mitzvah Shamarti. He's defending himself. He's defending his Avodas Hashem, and he's far away. The zechus that he feels should scare Esav into submission, into pacification. Keep in mind, by the way, this is a very important Rashi for two reasons. Number one, because it's the clearest Rashi that our Avos kept Taryag Mitzvos. What form of Taryag Mitzvos, how much of a detail, but Yaakov is actually saying Taryag Mitzvos, unless, of course, Yaakov is saying, Rashi's making him say it in our language, but it sounds like Yaakov is keeping Taryag Mitzvos. And second of all, this is one of the only statements in Chazal where we see there's Taryag Mitzvos. How do you know there's Taryag Mitzvos? Maybe there's 700 mitzvahs, maybe there are 800 mitzvahs. So it's based on the Gemara at the end of Makos. Rabbi Simlai says there are Taryag Mitzvahs, but this is one of the proofs that Rishonim bring, that there are Taryag Mitzvahs, 613. And the question amongst Rishonim is how to fit in. How do you grade the accounting for 613? What counts as a mitzvah? What doesn't count as a mitzvah? But the next pasuk, after he defends his religious performance during all those years, he says, Vayhi li shor v'chamor. So I have a lot of cows and I have a lot of donkeys. So he's trying to say he's been successful, but why does he focus on the cows and the donkeys, on the oxen and the donkeys? Shor v'chamor. Why is he talking about everything else? Most notably, and this is a Meshech Chachma, a really interesting point that he notices, what else did Yaakov come back with? What else did he come back with from Naram Narayim? Well, the Eved Avram in Lech, what? Look at family also, but he's talking about his riches now. We'll get to family later. But the Eved Avram sends to Ram Narayim in Parshas Chayisara with a lot of camels. Remember the camels 15 times in Chayisara. And camels, of course, bring all your wealth. You can't pack that much wealth on cattle. Camels can carry a lot more, and also they can travel a lot further. Now, how do we know that Yaakov had camels? Maybe he didn't have camels. Rachel. Because Rachel hid Lavan's trafim in the camel, the Bechari Gamal. So there are camels in the end of Vayetze. So unless all those camels died between Vayetze and Vayishlach, he's got a lot of camels. And camels are a lot more impressive than cows and oxen and donkeys. Anyone can afford an oxen or a donkey. Camels are very expensive and they carry wealth and travel for long distances. You need to have a large homestead. You can't keep a camel in a small corral. You need a big area. Camels are a whole different, it's like scaling. Like going from being a little mom and pop shop to being Google, you know, camels. So why doesn't he mention the camels? So the Medrash says that Shor v'chamor is not referring to the oxen and to the donkeys, it's referring to Mashiach. Shor is Mashiach ben Yosef, chamor is Mashiach ben Yehuda, because Mashiach will come riding on a donkey, and Yosef is compared to a shor. So Yaakov's describing, historically, I may be afraid now, but down the line, I know that I take security in the end of time. I know where this is ending. Mashiach will come. There'll be a shor. There'll be a chamor. So he's almost speaking to himself, not just to Esav. We can have an encounter now. It's very frightening. You have 400 guerrilla, you know, militants aligned against me. But I take solace in the future. And Rav Amital would always speak about this medrash that Yaakov lived the future. When he saw a shor, he thought of Mashiach. When he saw a chamor, he thought of Mashiach. That's just an introduction for the Meshech Chachma. Mishnah Chachma has two ideas why Yaakov is mentioning Shor v'Chamor. I'll say them very quickly. When man was in Gan Eden, evil was not internal. You had a natural tilt towards good and virtuous. There had to be evil or else you wouldn't have sinned. There couldn't be, you can't have a world without a Yetzirah, but it was external. This is a very famous question. What was the state of the Yetzirah before the sin? It has to be a Yetzirah, but something has to change after the sin. So it can't be the Yetzirah is born after the sin. So many, 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 many thinkers believe, like the Meshech Chachma, that internally there was a natural inclination for good and just, and there's just an external force. Once we sinned and we ate the Eitz Hadas, then our insides became confused. Then we have internal conflict, and we're torn internally between good and bad. The good voice and the bad voice, the good conscience and the bad conscience. Chimney Cricket telling us to do the right thing, little Satan telling us to do the wrong thing. You get that reference, Chimney Cricket. So telling us to do the right thing and the wrong thing. So that's what changed. Now what happens? The Avos are trying to reverse that process. They're trying to take this admixture of good and evil and separate so that man or Jews remain pure internally. So that's why Yishmael gets discharged, and that's why Esav gets dismissed. so that Yaakov is finally at that state that man was like in Gan Eden. There's a natural inclination to do the right thing. Of course, there are external forces that can block you, but there's a natural inclination. And here you have a division between Jew and non-Jew, because non-Jews haven't undergone that process. So they're still stuck in the post-Gan Eden world with a lot of internal confusion. There's a lot of internal... And Yaakov is saying, I purified myself to that stage, and that's why I'm keeping mitzvahs. And the metaphor Yaakov uses to purify that is, I still have natural animals. I don't have camels. What are camels? Camels are a mixture. Why are camels a mixture? Okay, they're not a mixture in terms of breeding, like wild boars, but why are they a mixture? Because camels have split hooves, but they don't chew their cud. So they're half kosher. They're a mixture of simani kashrus. The opposite, instead of the opposite. They chew the cud, they don't split hooves. And what is Esav compared to? Which animal? A chazir. What is a chazir? Otherwise, split hooves, not chewing the cud. So Yaakov's saying, metaphorically, I've returned to a state of Shor V'chamor, where there's complete and wholesome purity within man, as Hashem created us. And whatever toxicity and confusion and mixture man introduced in Gan Eden, that has been purged. And he had camels, obviously they're there, but he's not talking about the animals he has. He's talking about the type of route he's taken, and therefore he's kept mitzvos, and therefore, no, he's not frightening Esav. He's just saying, I've achieved a level of human experience that has been lost for 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, we all had to stay. I and my parents, because I've been this final stage of the process, this culmination, have returned to the state of Shor V'chamor as opposed to Gamol and Chazir. That's number one. Number two, Yaakov saying, my interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the level of Kedusha that I've reached allows me to do something incredible. I can now install Halacha Kedusha on objects and even on things that are even more intangible than objects. I have Shor V'chamor. I can create Hekdesh from the shore. I can create Bechor from these animals. I can deal with Bechor. He's discussing halachic issues, not just natural animal kingdom issues. I can install HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha. Think about that. Nothing in this world is born naturally Kadosh. I mean halachically Kedusha. Everything in this world, objects, place, and time, we'll talk about in a moment, need installment of Kedusha from human beings. And once you install the Kedusha, then it becomes part of Hashem's world. That's a very empowering thought. The only element that has inherent Kedusha is Shabbos. Yom Tov requires our Kedusha. Behemos require our Kedusha. Yushalayim requires our Kedusha. There's a ceremony in the Gemara. How do you give Yushalayim Kedusha? How do you give the Beis HaMikdash Kedusha? Yushalayim is no Kedusha. When Yaakov visits Haram Moriah, there's no Kedusha. It's an important place, but he can go there when he's Tameh. He can walk around there with the Sheretz. There's no Kedusha in Yushalayim until human beings install it. So Yaakov's saying, I have Shor V'chamor, and now I'm now in the process of building a halachic system. My children will participate in a halachic system where we are directly responsible for learning Kedusha, and not just to that, but to Zman as well. We keep Mekadosh this Zman. So Shor V'chamor is a metaphor according to Meshech Chachma. What's it a metaphor for? In the Medrash, it's a metaphor for history, Mashiach. In the first shot of the Meshech Chachma, it's a metaphor for the purity of the human identity based on the purging that took 2,000 years since we became contaminated by eating from the Eitz Hadas. According to the second metaphor, I have such a direct relationship from Hashem that I've become a vessel or a conduit through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha now percolates down to objects like a Shor and a Chamor. And therefore, it's not really scaring Esav. He's just saying, I'm playing a role. Please respect that role. Don't block that role. I'm redeeming man. I'm delivering Hashem's Kedusha to this world. Please let me continue. Don't obstruct me. He's not frightening Esav. Oh, I've got a lot of cattle. He's not trying to impress Esav. I'm very wealthy. Here's my business card. He's trying to describe what he has achieved since they last met and how this achievement will change the world. Shor V'chamor. Have a good day, guys.